morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. Make sure I got all my stuff in order here. Well, this is Fifth Sunday. This is when I've been asked to serve, and I consider it a great honor and privilege to do that. And so we're going to get right into the Word this morning because you can smell the food, right? So I don't want to keep you too long. I try to keep that in mind. But we're gonna talk about a subject today. We're going to deal with the heart. That's a pretty, maybe a pretty common subject. Ethan, could you do me a big favor? Could you hand me that coffee you filled up for me? Thank you, son. Awesome. Yeah, this was a gift from a really good friend. So, that's that. Good coffee. All right, so we're going to talk about something, a subject. We're going to get to the heart, but, you'll see that the title is called Uncluttered. Now, has anybody heard this trendy topic lately? Decluttering and all that kind of stuff? I'm really into it. So decluttering, if you haven't been aware of this, it is all the rage. So if you haven't heard of it, get into the rage. Get into the flow. It's very trendy right now. I don't know how to speak in these terms, but it's a trending topic. I don't know. But there's books. I've read one a couple weeks ago. I have another one I'm in the middle of, and I'm going to read another one. So I'm trying to get this in me. There's Netflix series on this topic. You'll find it. But I've watched some of those. Gets the fire going. Okay. I listen to podcasts. I've shared that lots. That's my thing. It doesn't matter what realm it is. It could be a ministry. It could be whatever, health and fitness. It could be whatever. I'm hearing this from every side about decluttering your life. And I'm just spitting already. And decluttering and minimizing things, right? Minimal. Here's the deal. Let me just tell you two things. I hate clutter, and I am a minimalist, but these things haven't fully manifested yet in me, so I'm waiting. I'm believing for the manifestation fully of this, but I'm on my way, so join me. But clutter happens for sure, right? Does anybody have that issue in their life, whether it be physical clutter or mental clutter? Or what, you got emotional? You can have emotional clutter, right? And digital clutter. Tim, is there digital clutter out there in the... Yeah, so digital clutter, you can have digital clutter. And which can lead to emotional and mental clutter, right? Maybe, depending on the digital source you're dealing with. So for me, one thing I've noticed... clutter can become invisible right away. Like if I keep something in a certain spot or things in a certain spot long enough, it'll become, oh, that's normal, you know? And like laundry on the couch or whatever it is. Not that we do that, but we have kids to take care of that. Fold the towels. But you can do, that can happen in life, right? Things can just become normal really fast. I actually didn't know we had a refrigerator at one point because there was so much stuff on the refrigerator. And, you know, just things can get cluttery and all that stuff. But I'll tell you what, there's something to be said when you, as we've been going through this little journey, you know, as a family, we're kind of in that vein. I've heard some good wisdom on this subject. I'm really getting off. I did not mean to open up with this much information. I'm sorry. But I'm mindful of our time. It's very precious. But there's a difference when walking into a room that you normally walk into that's kind of, there's a lot of stuff going on, and then you walk into it again and it's as clean as it can get. I'll tell you what, there's some sort of a supernatural peace that overtakes me. There is something going on there, right? So I don't know why I think about this. When I think about this, it seems to be few and far between now, but going on annual fishing trip with Pastor and a couple of the friends, for whatever reason, when I'd come home And I'd walk in the door. My wife would just want everything to be perfect, you know, and clean. And I'll tell you what, there was some sort of a crazy peace that overcame me. I was so, you know, I was tired and you're wore out, having fun. But you come in and there's a difference, right? Yeah. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, so you all know this. I don't need to go into this. So, but there is definitely a difference when it comes to uncluttered. It brings a peace. There's a book I'm going to read. I'm not getting paid to plug this book, but I think the title is Outer Order, Inner Calm. So there's some stuff there. But we've all experienced the negative effects of clutter, right? We've all experienced it. And a lack of peace it brings, maybe some stress, maybe some overwhelmed feelings. For me, even when it comes to mental stuff, like knowing, like I have a list in our refrigerator, I write stuff, okay, I got to do this. Little boxes, I got to check those off. Well, when I walk by those items that I know I have to take care of, which I know might not take more than 5 minutes, and I put them off forever, whether I realize it or not, there is a deep sense of pressure on me. And it's so weird. And I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know. There was a switch I had to change out in the bathroom. And I am in the back bathroom, the kid and the family's in the front bathroom, so I'm not really mindful what's going on up there. And there's a switch. And I put this thing off for so long. And it took me about less than 5 minutes to change. And I'll tell you what, the weight, I couldn't count how many times I started using that front bathroom, just flip that switch. Man, this is nice. Because it was sticking or something. And I'm like, you know, you have these thoughts. I hope the house doesn't burn down if I don't change the switch out or something. But what a weird sense of peace over something so simple. And that was mental clutter on me for so long. Okay, I'm getting way too long on this. So we're all done with that, right? So we're going to look at having a cluttered heart. And that's something we don't want to have, right? We'll be looking at heart clutter and a common, a popular parable. How many remember the parable of the sower? Okay. It's in Matthew 13. It's also in Mark 4 and Luke 8 if you want to look into that. We're going to specifically be looking at Matthew 13:22. And this whole parable is, you know, the sower sows the word. So the seed being sown is representative of the Word of God. And then the different types of soil, whether you know or not, the different types of soil are the different conditions of the heart, okay? So just to kind of give a real quick summation of this, the hard path, where the seed was sown on the hard path, that was where the birds came in and took the seed, and that's the enemy coming in right in. It didn't even, it just went right by over their heads, like, you know, as far as how it represents the Word of God, it didn't even take root. It didn't even have time to do nothing. It was just like, boom, gone. And it just went in one ear and out the other, however you want to look at that. The shallow, rocky soil, it didn't have any depth of that topsoil. So as soon as it tried to take some root, the sun came up and scorched it, and it didn't take root. It didn't take. So the Word, that's where the Word, you kind of receive it with, ooh, and then it scorches up. First thing that hits the scene that's a little rough, it loses it. The next thing, the weedy ground and the thorns and the thistles, that's what we're going to look at. That's the seed where it comes in and chokes the word out, the cares of this world and things like that. So that was that. And then there's the good soil. That's what we want to be into, right? The good soil, where the seed took root. And it produced a harvest of 30, 60, and 100 fold. And that's what we want. That's what we want. And Pastor Chad taught an excellent, excellent series on this, I think, not super long ago. So maybe check that out. But so we're going to look into this. And specifically, like I said, Matthew 13, 22. So Matthew 13, 22, let's read that. It says, this is out of the Passion Translation. I've really been digging this, so I use it a lot. I think it's out of the Passion. If I'm wrong, hey, feel free to correct me. The seed sown, I don't think this is the Passion. The seed sown among weeds represents the person who receives the message, but all of life's busy distractions, his divided heart, and his ambition for wealth result in suffocating the kingdom message and prevent him from bearing spiritual fruit. So that's no good. That's no good. So we see this ground that this is representing. It's the weeds and the thorns represent like a life of busy distractions. How many have busy lives? I think that's the most common answer to how's it going. I'm busy. You know, right? Today's day and age, we're all busy. We all got stuff going on. And you know, in here it also talks about ambition for wealth, chasing after whatever. That could be anything, you know, stuff. It's okay to have stuff. It's okay to, Justin, I'll just, you know, amen to your statement. It's good to have money. Actually, there's a verse in Ecclesiastes, I think it's called, it says money is a means for everything. Tell me one thing you can do in this life without money, or obtain, or whatever. I'm sure you will. But yeah, money is not bad. It's just bad when it has you and stuff has you rather than you and having the stuff, right? We've all heard that one. John 15:16, Jesus said this, "You didn't choose me, but I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world to bear fruit. And your fruit will last because whatever you ask my Father for my sake," or some translations say, "in my name, he will give it to you." So Jesus is all into us. The Father is all into us bearing good fruit in our life. Would you agree with that? He's into bearing fruit. He wants to see a return, right? On that, and we want to see a return. We want to see fruit born in our life for the glory of God and to just to declare God's goodness in our life. I mean, that's pretty simple to say. But when I was looking at this, and I was just praying about it and different things, thinking about this topic and going down that road of seeing how dangerous it is to have a heart that's cluttered, a heart that stuff is inside that can choke out the word of God that you want to see produce fruit in your life. You want to see the word of healing produce wholeness and divine health in your life. You want to see the word on prosperity and abundant provision. You want to see that produce fruit in your life, don't you? You want to see whatever it is. You want, you know, pick a topic in the word. You want to see that produce fruit in your life. I want to see that produce fruit in my life. And then it'll be on display for others to eat of that fruit. We want that. We don't want anything to choke out the word. And I really think as we were sitting there worshiping, it just kind of hit me like this is almost like a prophetic thing. I think for how many knows we're in the last of the last days? And if we're not, we're at least in your last days. This is your last generation. So, but we things are coming to a close here. I think it's kind of crazy. We're seeing stuff and going on worldwide. It's exciting, but it's like, wow, this, I think I read about this somewhere in the Bible. But I really think like this whole, I know it's like a hot topic, the declutter and minimalism and kind of like anything that doesn't add value to your life, get rid of it kind of thing. It's kind of like simple, you know, you could use however many words you want to use here, simplifying your life. I really feel like there's a prophetic kind of thing to that. Kind of like trimming down and slimming down and kind of thinning out stuff so you're not so distracted and pulled around here and there and overwhelmed and I got to use my stuff. I got so much cool stuff. I got to go use it and whatever that is. I really feel like I don't know what it is. You know what I'm trying to say? If you don't, let me know what I'm trying to say. But I know what I'm trying to say. I really feel like there's a prophetic kind of flow with that. Just minimalizing your life and kind of simplifying your life. And like we're on decluttering your heart. So let's look at an example of a couple people who I think had some cluttered hearts, okay? We know these two stories, but we're gonna just kind of breeze through them real quick. Busy distractions. So Luke 10, 38 and 40 says, As Jesus and his disciples continued on their journey, they came to a village where a woman welcomed Jesus into her home. Her name was Martha, and she had a sister named Mary. Mary sat down attentively before the master, absorbing every revelation he shared. But Martha became exasperated by finishing the numerous household chores in preparation for her guests. So she interrupted Jesus and said, "Man, how do you have the backbone to interrupt Jesus? What in the world?" Said, "Lord, don't you think it's unfair that my sister left me to do all the work myself? You should tell her to get up and help me." What in the world is going on here? So this was the Word made flesh in her house, speaking life. And she has the nerve to do this. But let's see what else goes on here. So Luke 10:41-42, the Lord answered her, "Martha, my beloved Martha." Man, Jesus is full of grace and mercy, right? He didn't give her a dirty look. He gave her grace and mercy. He gave her love. He said, "Why are you so upset and troubled, pulled away by all these many distractions?" Distractions. That's a word that was used in that verse about our heart. "Are they really that important? Mary has discovered the one thing most important by choosing to sit at my feet. She is undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her." And isn't that beautiful? And that's my heart, and I believe that that's your heart. I don't want to be distracted. When God is trying to talk to me, if He's trying to talk to me through my wife, if He's trying to talk to me through my kids, through my pastor, through whatever form of media I'm listening to, whatever, I don't want to be distracted. I want to be open. I want to have ears to hear. I want to have eyes to see, and I want to have a heart that's uncluttered, ready to receive. I don't care if that's a word of encouragement. I don't care if that's a word of correction. I really welcome the word of correction. But whatever it is, instruction, the word of God is good for all these, instruction, reproof, for admonishing, all this stuff. I want to be ready at any given moment to receive from God and not have stuff in my heart that's choking out that word, that's choking out that truth to keep me from receiving, from it going into good ground, and for it producing a good harvest. And I believe that's your heart too. Matthew 19, we're going to look at another example of this. Ambition for wealth, as it talked about in that verse in Matthew, or the deceitfulness of riches, some other translations say, choking out the word. Matthew 19, 16 through 20, this is the story where a young man, I actually read it in another translation, said a teenager. So this guy was fairly young. Jesus was approached by a young man wanting to know how to obtain eternal life. And so Jesus points him to some commandments, and the guy says, "Oh yeah, I got those covered. I got all that. All my T's are crossed. All my I's are dotted. I'm good." And Jesus knows this guy. Jesus knows this guy's heart. He knows what has a hold of his heart. And so let's read verses 21 and 22 in Matthew 19. Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And it's pretty clear, looking at this, where this young man's heart was. His heart was with his possessions, because he left the author of life to go back to his possessions. And this guy's riches had him. They had his heart, which choked out the word. The word made flesh was talking to this guy, was giving him the words of life, and was seeing beyond the surface and seeing his heart. Jesus is always about the heart issues. He knows the motives of our heart, and he wants to deal with the heart. And if this guy could have only seen the life that was being offered to him when Jesus spoke those words and gave him this wisdom and this instruction. I've heard it said, and you can disagree with this, it doesn't matter, but I've heard it said that this guy was most likely the replacement for Judas. So this guy had a lot. This guy knew how to handle money, I'm guessing. But some have mentioned that, and I'm like, yeah, I get that. But how many knows this guy's, his heart was full of this stuff that choked out the life-giving word of Jesus at that moment. And I don't want that. And I know you don't want that either. We need to allow God to help us declutter our heart. I just mentioned a little bit ago, I want a heart that is open for correction. I pray that all the time. Remember David prayed, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." And if you got a lot of stuff going on in your heart, I don't know if your heart's meditating on the things of God too much or not. I don't know. Only you know that. But again, I believe that we all want that kind of a heart that's uncluttered and that is open to receive from the Lord and to follow in that path that He has called us to. Because we are anointed. We are anointed with the yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of the living God to carry out our assignment on this earth. And a cluttered heart will not assist us in that. Will not assist us in that. And just looking and going back to like a natural illustration of like decluttering and stuff. And I hear a lot of people kind of drop different ways to say it. But, you know, you ask yourself when you're trying to like thin things out in your house. I hear the average house has 300,000 items. Can you believe that? And we don't use 80% of them. Holy moly. Wow. But one of the questions they say to start with, when you look at an item and you ask yourself, does this add value to my life? And I think about that, and then in the spiritual realm, and in the mental realm, and emotionally, whatever, is this adding value to my life? Is this conversation adding value to, I don't know what it could be. It could be anything. Is this thing I'm listening to, is this adding value to my life, or is it freaking me out and stressing me out and adding pressure and anxiety and I'm overwhelmed now? Is this adding value to my life? And there's so many things we can apply to that. Let's read Psalm 139, 23 and 24 real quick here. It says, "God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through all my anxious cares. See if there is any path of pain I'm walking on, and lead me back to your glorious everlasting ways, the path that brings me back to you." That's a beautiful psalm. And it reminded me as I was reading this and came across that word anxious. We're to be anxious for how many things? Nothing. Anxious for nothing. Nothing covers everything. Everything. Be anxious for nothing, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. I realized that was probably captured on video or whatever, but Justin's testimony, but just him sharing that testimony, I was ready to leave it. I was ready to go on Sarah's knee after that, but that was good, right? Yeah. And just hearing his determination and his simple decision to just grab hold of God and not let go. And to believe God that this isn't going to stay the same. This situation isn't going to stay the same. That's awesome. We overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we all, like he said, we all have a testimony. I don't care what it is. It doesn't make a testimony better if you went through hell and back. Your testimony is what makes it better. It's your testimony. God is good. And don't withhold your testimony when you have opportunity to share it with anybody. I don't care how. Don't belittle it. It's your story. And people need to hear your story. Do you know that God's assigned? Did you know that God has assignments of people that are probably only going to listen to you? God wants to use you to speak to certain individuals. It might be somebody that has to fly across the entire planet, and I've heard stories like this, to talk to one person. And God told them, they're going to listen to you. And whatever I had to do to get you over there, you're over there. But do you realize that? So don't belittle your testimony. I don't know who that's for, but because I used to do that. Think, my testimony is not that great. I was never strung out on drugs and all this stuff and in a gutter and, you know, thinking that I had to have the most dramatic thing. And that's stupid. That's just stupid. But I praise God. I mean, without God, we're all headed straight to the, you know. You know where we're headed. But thank God. Thank God. He's so good. And I just praise God with you, Justin and Harley. You guys just keep on keeping on, man. Keep on keeping on. That was so good. So going back to the decluttered heart thing, those are things that I think we do need to ask ourselves, in, as well as in the natural, but in a spiritual sense and an emotional sense. Is this adding value to my life? I mean, I was going on and on. Sometimes I get caught up in shows, series, right? We're in the day and age of binging on Netflix, right? We can do that. And if you don't even want to get off the couch, you can just watch the little timer, countdown. Okay, the next episode, let's go. Yeah. It's crazy. These kids nowadays, I tell you. I'm old enough to talk like this, right? These kids nowadays, they don't know what commercials are. They don't know what commercials are. Just skip, skip, skip ad, skip ad. They don't have to wait till the next week to see if Fonzie's going to jump the shark or whatever. I don't know. Wait until the next week. Anyways, now we binge an entire series and the next season's not coming out for 6 months and we go into a frenzy. What am I talking about right now? Anyways. Oh yeah, series. I've actually been involved watching series or whatever. And a friend of mine at work just had the same thought come to him. But I thought, why am I watching this? It's really stressing me out. I get anxious when I'm done watching it. I thought, am I just watching it because I've been watching it? And I thought, I'm an adult. I can make these decisions. So I'm like, I'll just stop watching it. And it was like an out of sight, out of mind thing. And I was talking to this friend who was watching the same thing. And he goes, oh, did I tell you we stopped watching that series? And I'm like, no. He goes, yeah. He goes, we're sitting on the couch. My wife looked at me and she's like, are we watching this because we've just been watching it for the beginning? He's like, I think so. I don't really care about it anymore. So they stopped watching. I'm like, what are we into here? But isn't it interesting what we can allow in and just kind of take up time or take up space in our hearts, right? And maybe it's time to do a little decluttering and ask, is this adding value to my life, or is this just a time filler? Is this just a space filler? Is this just fluff? What am I getting out of this? I don't know. Maybe we need to ask that question. Maybe we need to ask the question, can I afford to allow this into my life? I don't mean with money. I mean time. I mean, are you giving your attention and time to something that's robbing relationships in your life? I don't know. Can I afford this? I think about that a lot when I think about $30,000 bass boats. Not that I'm going to go out and buy one, but I thought, if I had this awesome bass boat, a big old engine on it. I'm a fly fisherman, so I don't fish out of bass boats, but they're They're nice because you can walk around the whole deck. It's great. It's a great platform to fish off of. But I didn't mean to say any of this. But if I've had those thoughts, and that's a cheap bass boat, by the way. I've seen $70,000 ones. So I'm getting a deal here if I spend 20. But I'm not going to buy a bass boat. Are you kidding me? So anyways, but I think about this and I think, well, if I had a boat like that, I'd have to have a trailer. So I'd have to buy a trailer hitch for either one of my vehicles. I'd have to go somewhere. I'd probably want to go on the weekend, all weekend to use it. Because look how much money I just spent on this thing. You know, and then you get caught up and I'm like, I don't have time for that. So I just stop by the Cass River on the way home sometimes. But anyways, we might need to think about asking ourselves that, what is this going to cost me? In my time, in my relationships? Is this going to eventually add to anxiety? Is this going to add to pressure and stress and pulling my attention away from where it needs to be? I don't know. But these are things that you might want to talk about. But I know the benefits, like I talked about, the simple benefits of like an uncluttered house or whatever. You come in there, it's like a peaceful atmosphere, right? And that goes for our heart too. When our heart is uncluttered, our hearts are domains of peace. They're meant to be domains of peace. God wants soul prosperity for us. Remember, in 3 John 2, it says, "Brethren, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Your soul, mind, will, your emotions. And you, like I said, you can have emotional clutter, mental clutter. God doesn't want all that. That doesn't make for a peaceful heart, an uncluttered heart. It makes for an environment that will steal that word of God away from you or steal that truth that God wants to reveal to you. You know how much revelation God wants to give of his love to you, of his plans and his purposes for you. And he doesn't want anything to hinder that and to take that away and to choke that out. And the enemy's number one job is to steal the word out of our heart. That's the enemy's number one job. When you go to, as soon as you get out, you walk out of this place hearing the word of God, he wants to tick you off at the first traffic light and get you all caught up in whatever. We don't live in a very busy area, so I don't know how ticked off you can get at a traffic light out here. But, you could. I think somebody's relating to this. But he wants to steal the word immediately. And again, having a heart that is uncluttered will prevent that from him coming in and stealing that. Can you imagine if we all here at Caris lived, walked around day to day with uncluttered hearts? Just hearts that were ready to receive the sown seed of the Word of God. They're ready to produce a harvest of 30, 60, and 100 fold in our hearts. All of us, all the time, wherever we are in our spheres of influence, wherever we go, this the Word of God is growing in us and flourishing, and we're walking in divine health, and we're not afraid to be who we are in Christ. We're not afraid to face the devil head on. We're not afraid to say, "Hey, do you need prayer? Hey, you don't look so good. All right, what's going on? I would love to pray with you right now." But cluttered hearts aren't so quick to do that. I don't know. Am I right about that? Yeah. A cluttered heart. I think a cluttered heart, really, you're more mind-focused. You're more self-focused with a cluttered heart. You know there's stuff going on. I got my own cares. I got my own distractions. I need this. I need that. I got to, whatever. Fill in the blank. I don't want a cluttered heart. I want a full reward on this earth when I'm done in this journey. I don't want anything to hinder me. And it's, I wouldn't have talked like this 30 years ago. But I had a lot going on. I had a very cluttered heart 30 years ago. Not to say I don't have, it's a constant house cleaning, right? Well, we none of us have arrived, but I'm on that journey. And in that, and a scripture in Hebrews, let me just read this before we wind up here. I am winding up, believe it or not. Yes, 11:30. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily, cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us. And how many know you cannot run your race weighed down with stuff, right? Those runners that are into it big time, they shave legs and put on skin-tight whatevers, and they are running. They do not say, give me about 50 pounds of stuff to run around with. No, they don't. They want to lighten that load as much as they possibly can. They probably shave their head and everything. They don't even bother with the zero fade. They just go straight for skinhead. I don't know. But if you were here Wednesday, you get that. But we need to be aware of clutter that wants to get into our heart and choke out that word of God. And again, you know, we all knew this before we walked in here on this message, right? We all knew this. But like I said, clutter can become invisible. You don't even know what's going on half the time. It just becomes what, you know, it just becomes normal. I want God to interrupt my normal. I want God to interrupt what's going on. If there's clutter, Lord, open the windows, shine some light on it. I've got to see this stuff so we can get rid of it. And help me, Holy Spirit, to get rid of it. Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. And He wants to help us. He's our helper, right? He's our comforter. He's our teacher. He's called alongside us to help us. And I believe that that's your heart. I believe that we all want that heart that's uncluttered and that can run this race with persistence, with endurance. No matter how long this race is, we got what it takes because we got who it takes. We got the power of the Holy Ghost inside of us. And I'll tell you what, just to reiterate something Pastor Chad shared last week about that secret, just praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit. I can't tell you, I was sharing those down there and this morning in prayer. I mean, as soon as Monday hit, I am listening to stuff at work on my phone and podcast, and I bet you five times from five different ministers talked about the same thing. It is crazy how that works. And one I'll share real quick, a brother in the Lord, he had ministry for over 50 years. He's considered one of the most powerful modern-day fathers of the faith, Brother Kenneth Hagin, who went home to be with the Lord, I think, in 03. But he had shared that when he began praying in the Holy Ghost and just really tapped into that gift and used that gift that God has given all of us as the body of Christ, he started seeing the other manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit just come alive through his ministry. And he said it was like a door that opened up for the other gifts just to manifest. And the more he did it, the more manifestations of the other gifts he saw in action in his ministry. And I thought, wow, that is something. And that guy, I mean, he started a Bible school. And I mean, I was listening to a spiritual son of his who's a pastor now, who taught at his Bible school for 20 some odd years. But I'll tell you what, we have a lot to learn from those who have gone before us. And there's a lot of wisdom to glean. But Pastor Chad was just sharing that. And that was wisdom. Whether you thought that was crazy sounding or not last week, go back and listen to it, because God wants that. That is God's will for you, to pray in the Holy Ghost. It's kind of like a picture of a well, deep, 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 deep well, and that sending that bucket down there and pulling up that water. That's what that praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. That's what that's doing. You're going way down deep, and you're pulling up the wisdom of God. And believe, like Pastor Chad shared, believe for the interpretation of that. And that interpretation can come with from under your mind becoming fruitful, your understanding becoming fruitful. It could come through a word from your spouse or your kids. I know that I was praying for someone on the way home sometime this week. My son was with me, and I was just praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if I can say what Paul said. I think I was praying more than you all this week. I don't know. But I really took, because you can get in a mode where you're just kind of like, you know, you got your routine, driving to work, whatever. I'm thinking, I got 15 minutes. I can pray in the Holy Ghost for 15 minutes. So I was trying to be mindful of that and in the shower and all this stuff. But I was praying in the Holy Ghost just quietly to myself. My son was beside me, and I was just praying and thanking the Holy Spirit for giving me understanding and the interpretation of that, however. And he said something and it answered that question. I'm like, that's kind of crazy. But that's as simple. God's not weird. I mean, the things of the Spirit can't be, to the natural mind, it's crazy, right? But God's not weird. He's very normal. And if it's weird, it's not God, probably. But it's not to show out and to be crazy, but it's to produce fruit, right? It's to get results. And God wants to see results in our lives. So walk in that obedience to that and praying in the Holy Ghost. If you haven't in a while, Pastor Chet said sometimes the first time was the last time. Don't let that be. So I'm done talking, but just be aware and ask Holy Spirit to just show you if there's any clutter that needs to be cleared out and to help you to clear out that clutter.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.